Hagman and Hagman Report coming to you live. Boy, have we got the next hour. Buckle up. Make sure your seatbacks and tray tables are in their full upright and locked positions. We're going to be getting into some stuff. With us, we have Pastor David Langford from the voiceofevangelism.com. And I look forward to this hour every week. He's with us every week at this time for a full hour to give us the necessary spiritual B12 shot and direct information, inspiration. I said information twice. That's all right, though. You know, and he's a man of God. He's a man of honor, in my view, a man of integrity and a man of character. And yeah, I look up to him. I respect him. He's my pastor. He's our pastor, officially, of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We drafted him. He didn't volunteer. He said, you know, actually, he said, nah, man, I know that's a full-time job. You guys need a lot of help. But that, and Doug, you're a full-time job, but that's okay. You know, so at any rate, the voiceofevangelism.com. Before we get to Pastor Langford, I want to mention this generation series of novels, T.C. Joseph. I'm going to hold up right now in my hot little hands. You see what I got right here? Did you see this? This came in a couple of
T.C. Joseph.
Yeah. It's hot off the press. In fact, ouch, it's burning my hand. No, it's not. Penance is now out. This generation series, book 3 by T.C. Joseph. You talk about a wonderful read. Folks, really quickly, in a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph, the author, he takes us into the lives of three families. And the way he does this is, it's just remarkable. It's kind of, I read these books, and this one I just got, and I devoured it. My wife said, you know, you got your head buried in the book, and yeah, tear me away. But the way he writes these novels, it's a fascinating read. Three families in a world where conspiracy theories, Bible prophecies collide. His novels move through recent history into the current events, and just events right over our horizon. You can feel in these books, it's a physical experience almost. You can feel us moving through this time. And his witty style, he's got fascinating characters and character development. It just provides for a great read. Not only will you love these books, but they will serve as a tool to awaken your friends. If you've got friends out there, you know, you say, I don't read nonfiction books. I don't read books about the Bible. But they'll pick up a novel. This is a tool to awaken your family members, friends, loved ones to the perilous times we face. And glowing reviews from Kirkus, readers of End Times Fiction will be hard pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable, fast paced, blue ink reviews, rave reviews all over the board. Folks, get your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series on Amazon.com. This Generation series, again, This Generation series on Amazon. Book 1 is Precipice, Book 2 is Pentecost, and as I showed you, Book 3, Penance, out right now, and it is well worth it. This Generation series by T.C. Joseph, I recommend it. I love this series, I really did. And I'm not a big fiction fan, but this really it captured me. And even my wife was saying how well written it was. T.C. Joseph, This Generation series of novels. Joe, let's bring Pastor Langford on.
Yeah, something we've been doing third hour each Wednesday is bringing Pastor David Langford on from the Voice of Evangelism. He has his website, thevoiceofevangelism.com, as well as his radio show on Blog Talk Radio, The Voice of Evangelism, Pastor Langford. It's great to have you back on.
Brethren, it's a great joy to be with you gentlemen tonight and to, as always, share the Word of God. And I enjoyed the last guest, Jeremy Wiles, and what he was discussing there about pornography in the sense that it does take control of many men's lives, regretfully.
It does, doesn't it? And it's such a destruction. It destroys marriages. It destroys relationships. It dehumanizes women and men too. It's an incredible perversion of God's gift of sexuality to us. I mean, it's horrible.
An entanglement into sin.
Yeah. Every blessing God has given man, Satan has sought to pervert it, and that's his modus operandi, is to pervert God's blessings. And from sexuality to anything that God has given us, he seeks to distort it. And that's why people get messed up. That's why sin is like a cancer. You know, the word cancer means any evil condition that spreads destructively. And then when you add malignancy, the word malignancy means tends to produce death. And so sin is a cancer, and it will not only produce physical death, but it will produce spiritual death if men do not get their sins under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, Pastor, where do you want to, what do you want to tackle tonight? I mean, last week we were 24 hours or less than that out of a political coup in America, a political victory in America. I don't want to use the word coup. A coup is what's happening on the other side right now.
In the craziest election in American history.
Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, now this post-election atmosphere, we've been seeing an uptick in chaos, in protest, and these protests are far from spontaneous. They're organized. They're being organized by the worst kind of people with, you know, very deep pockets, like George Soros and his societies, and using Black Lives Matter and busing people in. And now they're planning on the biggest Inauguration Day protest in the history of the Inauguration Day. And many people are concerned. People are being, CEOs are being fired for threatening to assassinate Trump. You have a number of people, you know, following that same line. And the media is freaking out all at the same time, you know, wondering, how did this happen?
Yeah, we're seeing a decline. I mean, we're seeing lawlessness, abundant lawlessness. But it's up to you. What's on your heart, Pastor?
Well, that's my concern. I'm still burdened. I haven't been relieved from this election, the process. It wouldn't surprise me if the Electoral College were to change and give the election to someone else. You know what's happened through the years? Because we have not executed judgment in a speedily manner, we've witnessed more and more lawlessness, as you just well said, Doug, and it's exploding. And we're coming to a point in time that when you start to deal with it, this is when you're going to see even a greater explosion of lawlessness. And that's what we're witnessing right now, and the fact that these mayors of these cities say, you know, we're not going to adhere to the law. And Donald Trump said emphatically, I am going to be a president of law and of order. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And, you know, we witnessed this through many situations, through attorney generals not enforcing the law, the Marriage Act, they wouldn't enforce that, that was between a man and a woman. And so now we've got this keg that's about to explode. And you got this liberal mindset that these people, though they're illegal immigrants, that they have the right to come to America to live off of you and I. And, you know, God establishes boundaries. When God made covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15 and 18, it says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates. So from the Nile all the way over to the Euphrates, in covenant, God gave that land to Abraham. Now, Israel never fully conquered all of the ites, Canaanites, Moabites, Jebusites, Hivites, Hittites. They never fully conquered all of them and got that mass portion of land. But my point is, had they gotten that entirety of the land that is rightfully theirs through covenant with God, had they rightfully gotten that, that was their borders. That's all God was going to allow them to have as a nation. And, you know, Soros and all these world globalists, are wanting to do away with boundaries and guidelines or perimeters for all the nations. Well, Acts 17 and 26, Paul said, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation," or the bounds of their residence. So God has set the bounds for all of these nations, even America. Boundaries have just been a part of the way God has done things. And so now they're coming along and wanting to erase all the boundaries. And this is, as I said, I think last week, this is the desire to bring on the one world order and the rule of the Antichrist. And so Donald Trump, I believe, is an instrument of God that says we're not going to do this. You know, we're going to, you know, establish our nation, our nationality. You know, even Obama on his little last one world tour is saying there's something wrong with nationalism. Well, that's, he might as well say there's something wrong with being patriotic. See, these people are deceived. They're emissaries of Lucifer, Satan, and so their mindset is totally different than a Christian's. It's a statistic proven fact. Most church-going people that go to church on a regular basis are Republicans. It's a statistical fact. Most Democrats don't go to church. And so, again, you're seeing the left and the right, the goat and the sheep. And so Satan's move, of course, is to cross out all these boundaries and just make us one global unit. And so I believe Donald Trump has been raised up of God to stop that, or to put the pause button on and wait till something else is become into alignment with God's will and God's plan. And I believe if Donald Trump begins to take the federal funds from these cities and these mayors, we will see untold civil unrest in this nation. And, you know, that's why I've been saying, you know, don't take a victory lap. The battle has just begun. And my concern is the people become apathetic and complacent and not stay on guard of what's about to take place.
Well, you know what, Pastor, you said something that I was looking at, and I know people have talked about this, and many of the constitutionalists out there, the strategists say, oh, this is such a long shot, but my goodness, we've seen so many long shots come in lately, we can't really dismiss anything, of course, and I'm referring to the Electoral College coming back on December 19th, I believe it is, or 20th, whatever day that is.
19th.
And, 19th, okay, and saying, well, you know what, we're just, I mean, like a runaway jury, you know, that type of thing. We're gonna cast our votes the way we want to, despite being bound. And the penalty for casting a vote like that is a small financial fine that certainly could be covered by, oh, someone with deep pockets. So it's, there's no penalty to the electorates that would break the covenant, the bond that they have with their constituents, to do that. And so, yeah, I'm thinking we got to get past that date, don't we? I mean, this is a real possibility.
You know, as I said, I'm still burdened. I'm still concerned. We're not out of the woods yet. I will not be happy till he is inaugurated and takes his office as duly sworn in as the United States president. Because, you know, we can't trust these people. You know, these people will look to you back to the Clinton administration and put their finger in your face and flat out tell you, I didn't have sex with that woman. You like your doctor, you keep your doctor. You like your health care, you keep your health care. We see all these WikiLeaks and all of these emails, all the hypocrisy. You know, Donna Brazile said, I'll not be persecuted. You know, where she's deceived is persecution comes through righteousness. She's being prosecuted, not persecuted, from the honest media. That's not persecution, that's prosecution. She don't even understand the difference between the two. But this is the mindset. You know, we're told in Proverbs 22:28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. You know, everybody that owns a piece of property, you have a survey, a map that shows your dimensions of your lot. And in the old days, what they would do, they used boulders and stones, and they would go move them and steal property that way. You know, they established it. You know, now we, most of us, have a rod, an iron, they call it iron pin, is driven down in the property, and they can pick it up with a metal detector and quickly find the points, the marks of the property. And, you know, if these mayors, and there, you take Rahm Emanuel, he's advocating lawlessness. You know, he's advocating murderers. And here again, they're picking and choosing what laws they're going to abide by. You see, that was the theme, that was the motif in the book of Judges. The theme that you see throughout the book of Judges is one of every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's the theme of the book of Judges. That's the last Judges 21:25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In other words, that's what these mayors are saying. This is right in my eyes, and I'm going to do it. The law says no, you can't do that. But they're going to do it anyway because they are a law unto themselves, which, as you said at the beginning of the program, is lawlessness. Remember Mark 13:8, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in diverse places, famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. Okay, nation against nation, ethnos against ethnos, ethnicity. And this is what we're witnessing on our own soil. These people are not Americans. So you have a different ethnicity on the homeland, and they're going to be embraced by the liberals, and we all know why. But they're going to use that to create, you know, a lack of civility, or take away the civility in the nation, and that's why I'm really concerned if Trump is inaugurated and he does take the office and he begins to pursue law and righteousness. See, people all the time, well, what's righteousness? What does that word mean? The first five letters, R-I-G-H-T, doing the right thing, period. That's righteousness. That's all righteousness is simply doing the right thing every day, being honest, truthful, don't lie, don't cheat, don't rob, don't steal, don't commit adultery. You know, that's righteousness. And Christians have righteousness, and they attempt daily to always do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And these people are unrighteous. They're the lawless ones. You know, just like, how many people have we seen been beat up because they had a Donald Trump hat on, or they voted for Trump, or whatever the case might be? It shows you who the real rebels are. It's the liberals. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's why if Trump begins to roll back some of these executive orders, take away federal funds, get conservative justices on the Supreme Court, and change a handful of things, they're not going to sit by. That's why I keep saying, they're not going to sit there and not take it. They're going to fight.
Right.
The Christians, we retain our civility. We're not going to go out here and loot, pillage, and burn. And I'm just concerned that once this starts, there's no telling where it will end. And it could very well end up in martial law. And you know, here's the deception of Satan. We all look for Obama or somebody like that to do it. It will probably come under righteous leadership. That's when the havoc breaks loose, because the ungodly, the wicked, the lawless rise up against the righteous and against those who are keeping the law. In other words, it's the exact opposite. And it's like a rebellious child. You know, they will challenge you, they will test you every way, shape, form, and fashion. And that will has to be broken. And what we've allowed to happen, because we have not executed judgment speedily, as Solomon said there in Ecclesiastes 8:11, they seek and pursue evil in a greater way. You know, and that one guy, Parnell, one of those singers, you know, talking about Hillary, said, everybody lies. Well, see, that's where he's deceived. You know, I don't lie. You know, sometimes I have to bite the bullet and tell the truth like every Christian should. And it may hurt me, it may hinder me or whatever, but I've got to tell the truth no matter what. But if you live your life above reproach, you won't be doing things that you have to even think about lying about. It's when you start compromising and you start cheapening the values of your life that you get in a situation where you have to even consider lying. We should never live in a way that even comes up in our subconscious. Well, you know, am I going to tell the truth or what? No. If you live godly and you live a good life, you'll not be in those situations. But it's when you start living an ungodly life that you ask the one taking the deposition, depends on what the word is means. You know, it shows the how convoluted a man's mind can become and twisted that he would ask such a question, depends on what the word is means. And it just shows you, and this is why I watch Obama. He knows he's lying. And yes. That's why he's very slow to speak, because he knows he's going to say a lie. And so he wants to say it in such a way that it seems to be prudent or pragmatic. But you can tell that man is manipulating, his thoughts are being manipulated, because God is not in his thoughts. You know, if you ask me, did I steal that, I should be able to say yes or no in a second. But when you start watching people make these theses to answer a question, that's when you know something's going on in their mind.
Yeah, and it's always that way when we see the interviews of politicians, leaders, really on both sides. I've been hearing this word being used more and more. They pivot from the question asked,
right.
Or they, you know, or they certainly don't answer the question. And you know, I noticed this in the various courtroom trials and such that I've attended. A question that calls a legitimate question now that calls for a yes or no answer. If there is not a yes or no answer, but an explanation that couches the answer, usually that's not a it's not a good sign, you know, that
that's
there's
right.
A lie hidden in there. So, yeah.
That's exactly right.
It's amazing. But you know, I share the same concerns. We share the same concerns because we're watching this lawlessness develop. And Pastor, I had a source, but he was connected with DHS a number of years ago, who said that the left, the progressives, the Marxists, the Obama, the Clinton, the Obamas and Clintons and everyone, they were going to start a civil war, and we reported on this. And of course, you know, it did not happen in 2012. However, the plans change, or the objectives do not change, but the timing changes.
Absolutely.
And they adapt. So we're seeing this right now, and I think the tinder is so dry. Anything at all could spark something. And what you said too about this coming under, for example, martial law to temper the lawlessness under a righteous leader, man, that would be what a setup that would be, you know, to have that happen.
Well, that, you know, it you know, when you think in the natural, we'll always miss it. We have to look at it, try to look at it through the lens of the Word of God. Like I said, yeah. You know, Paul here in Acts 17 says God has determined the bounds of their habitation. He's before already appointed this. And so they're trying to move those landmarks. And let's face it, you know, if Trump does what he says he's going to do, they're not going to set by. You know, I wish somebody would ask Obama in the press the other day, are you going to encourage Donald Trump to run the government like you did with a phone and a pen? They don't have the courage to ask the right questions, see,
of course,
because, you know, that don't get you nowhere in this life.
That's right. Yeah, you're exactly right. Wow. Well, this has been an incredible week of just this explosion of these sentiments all across the United States, the dozen or more cities. Of course, we saw $1 million plus, $2 million damage in Portland caused by rioters. We're seeing the threats to shut down or disrupt the inauguration on the 20th of January. And of course, you spoke about the potential for an electoral runaway vote there. Electorate, you know, who knows what's brewing there. But you've got this death grip by the Luciferian powers right now. They don't want to lose power. And I think they're getting old enough right now and getting toward the end of their tenures that they are, you know, more apt to do something maybe 20 years ago they wouldn't have done. And especially with the dry tinder that is the country, that is the United States. We're coming up on a break, Pastor, but I do want to share this with you. I read in my morning reading, I opened my Bible and I came to Proverbs 28:12. You know, when the righteous triumph, there is great elation, but when the wicked rise to power, people go into hiding. And I contemplating on that. Interesting.
Absolutely, brother. Word of God is true, not, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. Not too far from where we were opened the program with tonight. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Very special guest, Pastor David Langford. He's got a ministry that is absolutely worth, deserves your support, thevoiceofevangelism.com. His two books, the Book of Jude and Revelation 13 Revealed, boy, the latter. Mm-hmm. I learned so much from that book. Folks, go to thevoiceofevangelism.com, thevoiceofevangelism.com. And of course, he's got a weekly radio show right here on BTR. We're going to be right back with more right after this. Stay right where you're at.
Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are joined with Pastor David Langford from the Voice of Evangelism for the rest of the show. And talking about, we had a number of interesting guests today. Jeremy Wiles was on, Rick Wiles' son, just before Pastor Langford came on to talk about a number of important spiritual issues and spiritual battles that the church faces on a daily basis. Pastor Langford, I want to open this segment by asking you a question as to where the Lord is leading you in the post-election atmosphere with Donald Trump president-elect. We have a few months before Obama is out of the Oval Office for good.
64 days, but who's counting?
Have you gotten any sense of not only, I mean, the overt stuff we see from the media and the establishment and satanic elite coming after Trump and organizing these political movements, but the spiritual weaponry that is being formed against him, the spiritual powers that is, trying to wager influence, garner influence into the mind of Trump. What type of spiritual influences, evil spiritual influences, do you think he will be facing as president?
Well, he's facing them now. I mean, this new world order is nothing but satanic. Everything that we're witnessing is Luciferian, as your dad well said earlier. There's a Bible verse in Ephesians 2:2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Satan has power to create storms. We know that according to Job chapter 1, when this huge wind came from the out of the four corners of the earth and smote his eldest son's house and slew all the children. I would not be surprised if this coming spring is one of the greatest outbreaks of tornadoes. It would shock me one bit if it was just one tornado after another, because Satan is going to wreak as much havoc as he can. In Job chapter 1, verse 6-7 says, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from walking to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And as I look at that verse, I note arrogancy, ruthlessness, murder, you know, incest, you name it. This is what he's doing. And, of course, he's going to try to grow that exponentially here, and that's why we're witnessing more and more lawlessness. All of this goes hand in hand. And before the election, or right after the election, and before a few days as I was in prayer, I really felt led of the Lord to really start praying for Donald Trump's life. This man needs divine protection, just like I believe Hillary Clinton has had satanic protection. I believe Trump will need divine protection. You know, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, John 10:10. And he's going to do everything that he can. And this is why the church cannot become apathetic. We got to continue to pray. We must continue to fast. We must continue to preach the Word of God. We must continue to preach repentance. See, but just like with Israel, every time God gave them a victory, it was just a matter of a few years, and they begin to backslide. You know, Hebrews 3:17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them who had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? They grieved him for 40 years. Therefore, he could not let them enter into the promised land, and they wandered around in a place smaller than the size of the state of Texas and never could find their way out, because God wouldn't suffer them to find their way. He waited until that generation completely died out. And so now is the time for the church to really put on the whole armor of God, and let's go into the heat of the battle, because it's going to be a battle. Victories are not won by sitting on your rump. Victories are won by entering into the battle. And, of course, the battle is the Lord's, but he needs good soldiers. God needs men and women whom he can so truly depend upon. You know, we live in a time when you can't hardly depend upon anybody for anything anymore. You know, it's just the way it is in this life. And
that's true. Yeah.
It's sad, but it's true.
Yeah.
And we really need to stay focused. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, that's military talk, folks. We're to endure hardness as a good soldier, and it is hard. It's going to get more hard. It's going to get harder. And we can't, as I said, lose hope. I've never become hopeless. I've been helpless at times. But it's demanded of us now to pick up and really put our feet down, because we're gaining ground. This may be a pause. I don't know. I'll not feel good, like I said, till January the 19th about this. In the meantime, I'm going to keep fasting and praying. I'm not going to let up, because that's what Satan wants. And that's how we become deceived, and we backslide. We slide back, and we think everything is all right, and it's not. And we just need to really be sober. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If Satan can devour you, he will. A lot of these people don't know, but they've done been devoured. Obama's done been devoured. We see the description of Satan as a serpent in the Garden of Eden, but then in the book of Revelation, we witness him as a dragon. Well, how's he grown to that degree? Because he's consuming people. He's consuming souls. He's being energized off of humanity. And he's become stronger and stronger. And he actually believes he can defeat God. That's why he's going to lead this end-time rebellion through humanity against God Almighty. He won't win, of course. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be a tremendous heated battle. And it's going to be a tough battle, folks. I'd be derelict. I'd be remiss If I said this is going to be easy, this is going to be a cakewalk, this is, you're going to keep witnessing more and more separation. I mean, the creme de la creme is coming to the top.
And I shouldn't say I'm amazed, but as I witness the divisions, you know, it's kind of like hitting a window pane or a windshield with a crowbar. It's not just one crack. It's cracks that spread like a, you know, like a spider web or like a you know, center of a cluster that goes out. We're seeing right now the divisiveness between the haves and the have-nots, or there's economic divisiveness, there's racial problems, there's every difference between the population in America is being exploited and exacerbated, not just by the powers but by the press. And even the foot soldiers out there, the useful idiots, the ones carrying the rocks and the clubs out there in Portland and Chicago, Miami and Los Angeles, doing the bidding of being the cannon fodder of the globalists. They're so delusional and deluded, and I'm witnessing, and Pastor, I'm sure you recall the 60s, late 60s and early 70s, not that I want to date you or I, but this has got a different feel to it.
Oh yeah.
Man,
I call them in that book, the Book of Jude. I call them spiritual membranes,
and
we're pressing through these membranes, and each time you press through a membrane, you get into another level, another sphere, spiritually, and boy, the membranes are being broken, and and each time you pass through a membrane. That's, again, what I began the program with tonight. God has set boundaries. Once you pass that boundary, you have pressed through a spiritual membrane of sorts. This is all in the spirit. There's a degree of it in the natural. Globalism, dealing away with nations and boundaries. But everything first is birth in the spirit world, and then it's manifest in the natural. You know, it's just like Abraham and Sarah. God said, you know, you're going to have a baby. She's 90, he's 100. Okay? It's impossible. But he said, I will restore unto thee, or return unto thee, the time of life. He said that twice in Genesis 18. So he totally revamped their bodies. He revamped her body to the degree, I mean, you think about it, she's 90 years old. God had to totally revamp her mammary glands so she could nurse. I mean, her bone structure physically, her womb, her uterus, everything. I mean, God had to do all sorts of work. You know, a lot more work for her than it would have been for Abraham. But my point is, God did this because he is God. And so God has the ability to step out of the bounds of the normal when he desires. He doesn't do that for lawlessness. It's always for the good. But these men are doing it because they're evil, you see. Mm-hmm. And so it's always manifested in the spirit first. God spoke the word first, and then the results was a year later. Well, there are things that's been happening, you know, under this administration. The seeds are sown. It's just like Matthew chapter 13. The enemy came in, and he sowed the tares among the wheat. And then when they began to come up, it was evident when the tares began to grow. And, of course, the disciples said, you know, well, let us go out here and pluck them up. He said, no, while you're gathering up the tares, you may root up that which is wheat, the good stuff. But they asked him, they said, who done this? How did this happen? He said, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and he went his way. Now, the message there is, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. We get in this situation by spiritual sleep. Ephesians 5 and 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. we're spiritually asleep. I got a letter from a lady last week, I believe it was, and a particular Presbyterian church, the pastor, regretfully, was a woman pastor, and her family had visited Scotland. And they came back, you know, and then on Sunday they're showing pictures of the trip. But then what she had also done, she put a bottle of Scottish liquor in the vestibule with cups and was encouraging everybody to take a drink of liquor before they came in the sanctuary. And I'm thinking, is that preparing for the presence of God, or is that preparing for a nightclub environment? I can't believe what's happening. And this is somebody that's supposed to be a woman pastor. That's how you lead the flock of God.
Wow.
No, that's because the church is asleep, and they've let the enemy get into the pulpit.
Sure.
See, and this is why we've got the stuff going on. We've got going on in America.
Exactly. And you have so many times pointed out that the church leaders have been absent, AWOL, or in even worse cases, you know, facilitating their own demise and the demise of the body of the church itself. And we lack the leadership in, especially in the West. We lack the leadership within the church, the necessary leadership in order to fight the Luciferian agenda, the agenda that we all face. And it's incremental, and it's, to me, Pastor, I don't know, I'm looking at this and I'm seeing the incremental nature in which we are being hit with the lawlessness, with the immorality in all of this combined. Now we're giving a reprieve. We're given a reprieve, perhaps, where we now have to take a stand. And I shudder to think if we don't, as Christian men, stand up and say, okay, this is our opportunity right now to right a lot of wrongs, to stand in the gap and to be the salt for the church, for our children, for the sake of our legacy, then I don't think we're going to have another chance.
No, there's no way. I think this is the beginning of the end in the sense that here, from here on out, it's going to be grievous. I do believe God is going to give a revival, but as I said, it always comes with a great cost. The precious things of God do not come cheap. You know, that was the problem with Judas Iscariot when Mary broke that alabaster box and that ointment. In John chapter 12, it said the odor, the perfume, it filled all the house. He said, hey, we could have took that and sold that and got 300 pence. You know,
yeah.
And he was all in it for the money, of course, like a lot of other preachers in it for the money. But that ointment was expensive. It was a costly ointment. And the spiritual things of God do not come cheap. And the problem is the preachers have cheapened the grace of God. They've cheapened everything as far as that goes. But the true riches of Christ are costly, and they don't come cheap. Nothing in the kingdom of God comes cheap. But yes, this was a costly ointment, but that was the mindset of Judas. And that, you know, well, we could have took this and we could have sold it, but of course his heart was evil. But Matthew 11:12 says that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We're going to suffer. We're going to suffer, and what we get is going to be taken by spiritual violence. You know, it's a warfare, and it's not with 2x4s and shotguns and, you know, AR-15s. It's by prayer. It's by fasting. And I believe that's why God has given us a reprieve. God has heard the cries and the prayers of the righteous. He's seen the sacrifice. You guys have done a great job in trying to advocate and appropriate the gospel around the world yourselves in truthfulness and in righteousness. And now God says, I'm going to reward you, but there's a cost for that. You know, when Israel it was time for their deliverance in Exodus chapter 2 and chapter 3, God first arrested Moses by the burning bush and said, hey, your people, which was his people, even though he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, you know, he said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster. I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Well, buddy, it was on. It was on. And it got worse. You know, they even were upset with Moses. You know, after Moses first went in there and encountered Pharaoh, you know, Moses came out, and the people said, my God, you've made it worse on us. You know, he said, you got all this idle time, you're going to keep making the same number of bricks, and you're going to have to get your own straw. You know, it got worse before it got better. And that's what we're going to witness. If this, and I'm like Gamaliel, if this is a move and a work of God, it will not be stopped, but it will be costly. It will cost us. And it will cost some of us, no doubt, our lives. God will be the one to determine those, how their lives might be given. You know, Daniel was thrown in a den of lions, and God protected him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fiery furnace. God protected them. God can protect, or God can allow us to suffer a martyr's death. I don't know. That's God's decision. That's God's, again, his before-appointed predestination and election regarding these matters. But we, you know, cannot live in fear. We got to keep, you know, praying. We've got to keep crying aloud, sparing not, and be faithful. That's why the word, you know, apostasy, the root word, the middle of the word is post. People leave their post, and we can't afford to leave our post right now, because we're getting ready to get into a real battle. And like I said, I think it will come because of righteousness. When Jesus was born, Herod told the Magi, come back and give me word where he is. And of course, God gave them a dream. They went another way. He perceived he had been mocked. So he goes down and he kills every baby 2 years old and younger. Every time God does something, the devil does not set by and just let it go on. He creates an atmosphere of hostilities, and he seeks again, as I said, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And then we went, you know, Jesus, we don't hear of him until we hear his words in Luke 2:49, I must be about my Father's business. And then we don't hear from him for till he's 30 years of age. So there's a time of silence there until he begins his ministry. Luke 3:23, he began his ministry at about the age of 30, according to Levitical law. So he was 30 years old when he began that. But, when Jesus was born, Herod, you know, he perceived he had been mocked. And so he went out to kill all the children 2 years and younger. So don't think there's not going to be a great battle in this. There's going to be a great battle, but with the greater the battle, the greater the victory, and I'm looking for great victories in the coming days.
Amen. Well, Pastor,
that's what we have to look forward to.
Absolutely, and we are so thankful for your gift of time this week. You know, I'll tell you what, folks. Pastor David Langford is one of the hardest working men I know. And one of the most fervent prayer warriors I know, and certainly prayer and fasting is what he does. I just can't thank you enough for your gift of time, and I would urge everyone to go to thevoiceofevangelism.com. And Pastor Langford has got two books, the Book of Jude and the Book of Revelation 13 Revealed. Both books are excellent. You've got audio files for in your store as well. In your newsletter, that last newsletter for November, if you read it again, it was written pre-election, I believe. Yeah, it was written pre-election, because and if you read it now, it's even more, relevant than it was before the day of the election. So, We just want to say thank you for your gracious gift of time on a weekly basis.
Thank you.
Because we know it's short, or, you know, we know you're busy. You know, but thank you, Pastor. And we've got about a minute left. We don't want to, drag this out, but, any closing comments here in the final minute or so that, you care to share?
I just want to encourage the people to remain steadfast and faithful, and, God will help you. He's always faithful. He said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you, but I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hey, can I give out a cell phone number for this revival, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning?
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. Absolutely, yes.
It slipped my mind. It's 828-289-4659. Again, that's 828-289-4659. I'll be with my brother. He pastors a small church, Rutherford Church of God in Ellenborough, North Carolina. And if they'll call that number, he'll give them all the information, and we'll be there Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning ministering the Word of God. Love to see some people in the area. Come visit and be with us.
You know what? We are going to, again, put this up, or re-up it on HagmanReport.com. I've got all of the information. It's this weekend, Pastor David Langford. Yes, you've got Saturday night, or Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning.
Yes, sir.
And folks, if you're anywhere from Atlanta, Georgia to Washington, D.C., attend the Rutherford Church. I don't have the note in front of me here. It's in my office, and I'm so sorry I forgot about it. But
that's perfectly all right. Just if they'll just call that number, my brother will give them all the information that they need, and hopefully we'll see some of the people there and have a wonderful time in worship.
Okay, one more time. It's 828-289-4659.
That's it, friend.
All right.
Pastor, thank you so
God
much.
Bless
God bless you all, and we always enjoy being with you, gentlemen.
All right.
God bless
folks,
you.
God bless you. Folks, that was Pastor David Langford. And don't forget, yes, he's got that revival, or the preaching at and I'm so sorry. We talked about this last time he was on, but we're going to put it back up. This coming Friday. Boy, that went quick. I mean, that came up quick. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If you're anywhere in the North Carolina, South Carolina area, and if you've never seen Pastor Langford or been with Pastor Langford, as he's preached and as he's, been in fellowship, you're going to want to definitely call and, let him know you're coming. The phone number is 828-289-4659. But folks,
excellent.
Yeah.
And just a quick announcement. Excuse me. Tomorrow we have Paul McGuire. He will be our guest in the first hour.
Yep.
He's going to be giving us his thoughts on the post-election violence and atmosphere, and as well as his thoughts on where we need to go from here, both spiritually and politically. And then we will be joined by Pastor Mike Spaulding, and we're going to touch on a number of issues. Pastor Mike and I had exchanged emails today, and let's just say that it's going to be a fascinating show, as well as we're going to be hitting on a number of spiritual issues that a lot of our audience has asked questions about. And it's going to be a great show tomorrow.
And Paul's going to come out. Paul's got some interesting thoughts. Remember when he was talking about, you know, he saw revival all across the land. This is part of it, but he's also, there's a second part that you may not know. So definitely tune in tomorrow night, Paul McGuire, for the first hour. Folks, be careful, because I believe a very perilous time in American history, in world history, and we are facing a very formidable enemy. The enemy has been cornered. They have been seemingly stripped of their power. Yet they're still holding on to that power now for another 64 days in the executive branch. And of course, I think, what is it, 2 weeks shorter, for the legislative branch. But nonetheless, they're fighting to keep that power. And when I say fighting, you're looking at, look at the concession speech images of Clinton. Look at the purple. Think color revolution. Behind that purple is the color revolution. What was done in Ukraine is taking place in America as we speak. It's a color revolution. The foot soldiers are the useful idiots out there with the bats and the violence. But the greater threat, I believe the more formidable threat, are the power brokers in the basements, the halls, the studies, the libraries, the mansions of the globalists. That's what's taking place. Join us, folks, tomorrow night. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel, please. Please, we beg of you, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, join us on social networking, Hagman Report on Facebook, Douglas Hagman on Facebook.
And Joe Hagman on Twitter.
There you go. Joe Hagman on Twitter. Doug Hagman on Twitter.
Real Tech Eric on Twitter.
And Real Tech, the Real Tech Eric is over there sobbing. I gotta give him Play-Doh, okay? Because, you know why? Because you gotta follow him, or else I am giving Play-Doh. See you tomorrow night.